you've offended two-thirds of the show already.
I've offended myself. I've offended three-thirds of the show because I do it too.
Three-thirds.
There's no one who's been left untouched by this.
I like how you don't say 100%, you say three-thirds.
Still mathematically true.
That's true.
I learned science in this.
In 1955, an extraordinary object landed on Earth.
Has the press gotten wind of this yet?
We don't think so, sir.
If this got out, it could change the course of civilization. Briefly.
Well, they pulled the engine out.
Get rid of it.
In 1985, seniors at Kit Carson High...
Hey, school tax, jellyfish. Come on.
...were working on their science projects when Mike Harmon discovered the engine.
How long will this thing run, son?
Unleaded.
He fixed it.
Unless your project is Dino Supreme, you both get D's.
Hey, I'll take it.
And he called it My Science Project. But he didn't turn it in. He turned it loose.
Hey, I seen lights like this at an Ozzy Osbourne concert.
This is bigger than the planet.
Is this like when you told us we could smoke banana peels?
Great, there goes my D.
It's dangerous. You could wind up in another dimension.
Something tells me we ain't in Kansas no more, Photo.
Sure, what's he saying?
He's going to kick the hot.
What are we gonna do?
About 1 to 5 of good behavior.
Hit the blow up!
Science Project.
Now that was a ride!
Hello and welcome to The Great 80s, the great 80s movie debate, where we see if the movies of the 1980s still hold up today. If you're a child of the 80s, a fan of classic films, or just a movie geek, you've come to the right place. Tonight we'll be discussing 1985's My Science Project, written and directed by Jonathan Betul and starring John Stockwell, Fisher Stevens, and Dennis Hopper. My name is Dave, and I'm joined by an illustrious panel of 80s experts, including Christy.
Ta-ta forever, monkey wrench.
And Kevin.
Woodstock, baby.
Well, on The Great 80s, we like to go back through the hosts and discuss our past history with the film so listeners know where we're coming from. So, Christy, I assume this was your pick.
Yeah,
because
it was my pick.
These are the kind of movies you've been picking, and then you said Kevin was joining. So why would you do this to poor Kevin?
He asked for it. He said, "Hey, I want to do a movie. What you want to do?" And I said, "My Science Project."
All right, for any Grady's hosts, this is a warning: be specific when Christy emails you. Christy, what is your history with My Science Project?
Oh my God, this movie! So. Imagine little prepubescent Christy and her father, who loved videos. My dad was so into when video stores first came around, he had like some of the first VHS tapes. And as soon as there was a place where he didn't have to pay $300 to buy one, he was excited. And so we used to go, and the actual video store was in a strip mall that was above our grocery store. So while my mom would do the diligent job of grocery shopping, my dad would take me up to the McDonald's, get me a little hamburger, and then we would go to the local video store. And I would get to pick out a movie. And there was always like a new release shelf, which was at least 4 or 5 months old. We were very behind. That's what happens when you live on an island. So our new releases were probably a year old. But My Science Project sat up there next to Real Genius and The Wraith. And it would always be a delay before we would have something new, but I would want to watch something. So I rented My Science Project probably about 4 or 5 times because there was nothing new. So it was on my rotation until they would change it out for new releases. But so My Science Project, I always thought that he was really cute, and that was my motivation. And then I just really liked it. So, yeah. Before we get too far in, Dave, I would like to show you the depth of this movie. I have something that I wanted to prepare for the two of you. Okay. These are prophetic, beautiful poetry that is from the tune My Science Project, sung by the Tubes at the end of the movie. Relatively speaking, today is tomorrow. Einstein led and everyone followed. Time to increase your mental retention. Explore different tiers in a new dimension. A problem based in simple logic. The answer's right here in My Science Project. Science, Science Project. A wise man said, life is a spectacle. Some have learned it's all very technical. A linear equation, a lifetime you will spend. What goes around comes around and goes around again. Can we all exist in abstract logic? The answer's right here in My Science Project. Science, Science Project. Proof to the theory has been obtained. Bigger walls of knowledge is in your brain. Wise men said that life is a spectacle. What the children have learned, it's all very technical. Problem based in simple logic. Out of control. It's My Science Project. Science Project.
Wow.
Deep. Deep.
Yeah.
Groovy. That was groovy.
Yeah. Snaps all around.
I like the delivery.
Thank you. I don't know. I never really listened to. I mean, I like 80s cheesy 80s music like that, especially if they're synthesizers. But for some reason today, when I watched it again, I was like, who the fuck wrote a song about My Science Project? What an odd song. And they must have. Oh, they wrote it for the show, for the movie. And what kind of lyrics are in there? And you can't look up the lyrics. So I had to sit there with the pause button and keep writing it down in felt pen in my book and wrote it all down, because you cannot just look at the lyrics, because apparently nobody took the time to write them down, but I did.
That's dedication.
And it's the Tubes.
And it sounds like every other Tubes song.
Pretty much, yeah.
I'm impressed, though.
Thank you.
I'm impressed.
That's the most. That takes a lot of dedication.
It does.
I like this movie. I used to like this movie.
Did you have the closed caption on, or did you just do it by ear?
I just did it by ear.
Wow, even more impressive.
It's well, because you can't put it on closed caption when you watch it free on YouTube.
That's right, because it wasn't available. I checked it because I was like, at one point they were. I was like, what kind of gibberish are they talking? And I wanted to put it on closed caption. It wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
That's the level we've sunk to on this show.
We're all old.
I can't even get closed captioning on these movies.
I like to say that this is the level of Kroll. Anything that can be loaded, like looked at on YouTube for free, as soon as that's like Kroll is the first one that I did that with, and I'm like, wow, I had to go rent this, and now it's free.
Well, Christy has quite a vast history, it seems. Kevin, do you have any history with this movie?
This morning, I went to YouTube, and, and I found it there. It was one of those things where I was like, yeah, just pick a movie. And I knew the name, but I'd never seen it. I had it confused in my head with Real Genius.
Right. Like,
that was like, much too like, good to watch.
I was like, oh, I like Val Kilmer. And I looked at the trailer and went, oh, yeah, that's a different movie. And then you got Dennis Hopper in it. And I was like, oh, I've never seen this. All right, I'm game. And I watched it, and I did not hate it.
See? Mm.
Well, I, too, had never seen this, but this is another, like you said, in the ever-growing string of Christy movies that are available for free on YouTube, commercial-free and free. I mean, they didn't even bother. They knew that putting ads in this would be a waste of time.
Yeah. They didn't think anybody would make it through the whole thing.
No, no company is like, I got to have my ad in that movie. That never happens with the movies that Christy picks. So I had never seen this either. So you're on a string of hits, my girl.
All right.
And I did not know. Do you have any more Tubes lyrics for us?
No, that's all I have.
YouTube sent me $2 for watching it. They're like, we're sorry. Here's some money.
Here, we're doing market research. Why did you watch this? Why did three people in the last 10 years download this movie?
But I looked at the download numbers. It was like 6 million people.
Yeah.
It had 6 million views.
Mm-hmm. The album was real genius.
That's exactly right. They waited till the end and said, where the fuck was Val Kilmer?
Or where's Kelly LeBrock?
This was out around the time of a lot of science movies, like those, like Weird Science, Real Genius, The Manhattan Project.
Yep.
All these movies came out around the same time.
Came out like same 2 weeks after Weird Science.
Do you think it's because they knew that like Back to the Future was in production and they're like, we got to get our Back to the Future?
Oh, and I'm sure it's like that time that like sci-fi movies get like have their time in the 80s where it's like everything is really close to the same kind of genre. I think the same thing happened with, okay, let's do geeky high school people.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is a Disney movie.
Mm-hmm. Touchstone, yeah.
Right. I mean, at least you got it. Some of your movies don't even have a recognizable studio.
Yeah.
So at least you got that going for you.
Well, and I have I feel like this movie has direct impact on a little known TV show called Stranger Things.
Okay.
I like to think that it influenced it a little bit.
All right.
You'd like to think that, wouldn't you?
I'd like to, but probably, chances are probably not.
It begins at Dawson Air Force Base sometime in the 50s, and this lends more credibility to Christie's theory about the 80s and the 50s. You have said this, and it keeps coming back and back. Maybe you're just picking movies that make you sound right.
No, Dave, maybe it's because I am right.
But in the 80s, everything went back to the 50s. Yes. It goes back to an alien crash at this Air Force Base. They bring a pretty damn good President Eisenhower lookalike.
Oh, he was good.
Yeah. They look good.
And they've interrupted his golf game. He still has his golf shoes on. It is like middle of the night. Where the hell is he playing golf in the middle of the night?
On the other side of the country? If they flew him from Washington to California?
In the other side of the country, it would be even like less golf time. Like, say it was 9 p.m. in where are they? California?
Yeah.
It was 9 p.m. in California. It's 12 a.m. in Washington. He's not playing golf in the middle of the night. Okay,
point taken.
Don't try to defend us, Christy.
Maybe he went through via Alaska and time went backwards.
Okay. That must be what happened. It's supposed to be in the desert, and it looks like
New Mexico.
It does. It looks very much like that. And
even
Ike, one
sign is on backwards when they drive.
It
up,
is.
Yeah, it's like one of those signs you kind of see. You see the light through it, and it says Dawson Air Force Base. You know where they are, but it's from the side of the base, not from the side of the like going into the base. It's you're looking at the cars coming into it, and the sign says Dawson. That's the first thing I picked up. I was like, why would they need the sign for people leaving?
Right. That's funny. Thank you for visiting Dawson Air Force Base.
It was even that. Like, here you are in case you forgot or something.
I didn't notice it. That's hilarious.
That was like the first 2 minutes and I went, oh, this is going to be a problematic movie. The sign rights.
You knew then that you should have been more specific in the email back to Christy. Ike wants it destroyed.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
By the way, what kind of lasers were they using to destroy the ship?
Good question.
That was another. It's like that was more powerful than what the ship had.
Right, and I guess all they're doing is he says they want the engine taken out. I don't know how they know what the engine is, but they take something out of it. We don't see it destroyed or crashed for that matter, because they had no money to make this movie whatsoever.
Nope.
You just, it pans up to the stars and you just, something's going on, I guess. It's good. And now we're in 1985. Now, Mike, is this the guy that you had a crush on? Mike?
Yes.
He's John Cougar Stockwell. From from Top Gun. He's Cougar.
Yes.
All right. Now in 1985, you know, you see this high school and it looks like every California high school. It could be Rydell High. It could be Hill Valley High School. Mike is late to science class where the projects are due tomorrow. There's a final tomorrow. There's something happening tomorrow. It's 2 weeks to graduation. And they say, if you don't get a project, you don't get a diploma. This is pre Bill and Ted. This is very Bill and Ted.
Mm-hmm.
Hopper is the teacher and he ingests gas. Is this this is a Blue Velvet thing?
This is a Blue Velvet moment.
Do you like Dennis Hopper?
Not really, because I didn't like Blue Velvet. But
yeah,
I kind of thought that he had a vibe of this was a prequel to the movie Speed. That character Howard Payne, the villain. Yeah, this is how he started out. That's what I thought.
So. He dropped out of teaching and became a cop, and then he was a disgruntled cop. All right.
Yeah. And by the way, they say science project within the first 6 minutes. They say it four times to make sure you know what you're watching.
They do.
So the people in the theater weren't sure what theater in. We in the right theater? Wait, he just said science project. Sit your ass down.
Is this a science project movie? Yeah, it's a science project movie. Yeah, okay.
And Mike's girlfriend breaks up with him. Why? I understand. I guess they say that they're from Brooklyn. Everybody in this movie to me has a Brooklyn accent.
Except for Barry Corbin.
Who's Barry Corbin?
The father. Who has his good old Southern accent.
Oh, the guy from War Games.
Yeah.
And the stepmother, who I called Elvira Light.
Yes.
She's a very Southern accent.
She's Lana from Three's Company. She always plays an old slut. That woman.
Yeah. I remember her from Evening Shade.
God.
She was on that.
No one's ever said that before. You remember that episode of Evening Shade? Christy's like, yeah. I own the box set. What? Which one?
And Wedgeworth.
Yep.
And Wedgeworth. Yeah. And they introduce these other characters. There's Ellie, who is the nerd, and Sherman, who is also a nerd. It's like you said, Kevin, it's like a lot of nerds, you know, like getting all the nerds in here. You're supposed to be coming interested in him. And she likes Mike. She starts asking him these questions. And the one question she asks him is, how many times do you Jedi? And he answers, I've never seen Jedi. Was that a phrase? That wasn't a phrase.
I do not recall that.
Can I just say that the forced pop culture references in this movie were some of the worst in any movie I've ever seen.
You are absolutely correct. It is almost every line of dialogue. They throw a TV show or a celebrity in the line.
Oh, Vince is the worst.
Yeah. Vinny.
They love him, but man, they forced that. Every time he talked, it was something. I was like, oh, just talk normal.
Well, all right, let's talk about him. So Fisher Stevens, he at least has a shirt. He's got, like, he could be from the 50s. He's got the slicked hair. He could be right out of Greece. He's got a bowling shirt. Those bowling shirts people used to wear in the 50s. It says, like, Brooklyn something on it. I hate Fisher Stevens. And I know a lot of women.
He's very polarizing.
A lot of women love Fisher Stevens, and I don't understand it for one second.
Oscar winner Fisher Stevens, you don't like him?
I cannot stand that guy. What was he in besides Short Circuit?
Michelle Pfeiffer.
He's got like 100 acting credits on his IMDb. Because I started watching, because like when the credits were rolling, I'm like, who are these people? And then it's like Dennis Hopper. I said, oh, that's where they spent their money. So as I'm watching it, I'm making notes. The people that went to IMDb to look at what they've done since,
mm-hmm.
to say these people can't be working. They just, you know, and Fisher Stevens has been working constantly.
Yeah, he does show up in a lot of things. I've seen him actually recently in a lot of my favorite things. He had a couple episode arc on Lost. He was in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Yep. He was on Friends. He was one of Phoebe's boyfriends on Friends. And I don't get it. And I know I've had this conversation, and it's usually women. They go, oh, he's so cute.
Yeah, my wife was like, oh, that's Fisher Stevens. I'm like, how do you know that?
Yeah, women love Fisher Stevens.
That explains a lot.
Why? Do you know
I don't know.
Do you know what his last credit was?
What?
And I found this hysterically funny. He's a producer of Tiger King.
Oh, yes, I remember that. I remember that.
That's awesome. All right, maybe that part of him's cool.
It's kind of like Bobcat Goldthwait. He became a big producer and director.
Yeah, he did. Right.
Yeah. Well, a lot of these people, if they didn't disappear totally, went to directing or writing. John Stockwell wrote that Marky Mark film, Rockstar.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, good, because he can't act.
Oh, God, no. He's awful.
But he's adorable.
He's not adorable. That guy is the worst mouth breather I've ever seen in a movie. There is not a second that guy's mouth was closed in this movie.
That's a thing in the 80s.
Mouth breathing?
I guess.
Couldn't they have gotten Eric Stoltz, since he was fired off Back to the Future, just said, hey, here's a good-looking guy we can throw in this.
Hey, Eric, come with us.
Okay. So we have a secondary project for you.
Eric, so the Back to the Future thing, the Marty McFly thing is not going to work, but we have this amazing project where you'll get to work with Dennis Hopper. You like Dennis Hopper, right?
I like the patronizing Christie agent talk. You remember Dennis Hopper, don't you?
You remember him? He was in Easy Rider. And we're even using his jacket in this. So you're going to get to be near history.
And one day he's going to be in Waterworld, and that's going to be huge. So
it's going to be this guy Dave's favorite movie.
All right. And all of a sudden you're from North Dakota.
I travel.
Ellie breaks down getting out of the senior parking lot, and they all line up behind her.
She did it.
She did do it, but I'm not concerned with Ellie. I'm concerned with this line of children. No one goes around her. They all line up behind her, honk the horns. Mike fixes it. She sabotaged it. But they have this long conversation then. They're flirting, and still no one goes around her.
Well, now he's blocking the other side.
Oh, my God. I work at a high school. And after school, from school's over at 210. From 210 to 220, it is like Mad Max Fury Road. Okay? No one is waiting for anyone.
This was 1985. It was a gentler time.
They didn't have phones. They didn't have anywhere to be. They didn't have to get on the TikToks or nothing.
The TikToks. That's right. Kevin has had the perfect answer. I mean, for everything so far. I'm siding with Kevin, not surprisingly, and against Kirsten. But it was 1985. Maybe people were nicer. They were drinking beer, I guess, and throwing cans at the nerd.
Sure.
Was this when the drinking age was 18? Was the drinking age ever 18?
I think it was in some states.
If it was New Mexico, it was probably 12.
Because they're in New Mexico, there's nothing else to do.
Exactly. There's nothing to do.
By the way, did anybody notice the little fake gap they put in Sherman's teeth? Did that bother anybody else?
It was fake?
Oh, yeah. Because Raphael Sabarge doesn't have it.
Yeah.
No, he should have been
mentioned in the main credits when you said them, Dave, because Raphael Sabarge, big ass.
Who is he?
He was in everything in the 80s.
He's been working constantly since 1983.
Yeah. He is the Fisher Stevens of the nerd set.
He's the Fisher Stevens of my science project.
Yes.
Fisher Stevens.
I don't know the guy. I've never seen him before in my life.
Oh,
and he had 70 credits.
Yeah.
Really? Right, I'll look him up later. I don't remember any gap put in his teeth to make him look more nerdy. Was that it?
No, yeah.
It was like this little black thing. It's like a little piece because it would have made his front teeth look weird. Because I kept thinking that's not right. That's makeup and that's bad makeup.
Yeah.
All right, I will look this guy up.
I guess because they wanted to have a gap like John Stockwell, because his teeth were a bunch of messed up chiclets.
That's a perfect way to put it.
Those and were you saw him a lot.
You saw him a lot because that largemouth bass never closed its mouth. God, I could smell his breath.
You could not.
Through the screen. But they agree to go on a date. And the date is breaking into Dawson Air Force Base, which is now a junkyard, to find some kind of science project. Falls through a fallout shelter. And he finds this engine, and it starts sucking the electricity out of everything. So the only logical thing is to take it home with you.
That or sell it at Spencer's.
It was. What do they call those things?
Like the Tesla, not a Tesla, but a plasma ball.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Those are cool. Yeah.
When I was watching, I'm like, I wouldn't mind having one of those.
Yeah.
They were the things that you would go to the mall with your mom and she would let you touch it, mm-hmm. but they would never let you buy it.
No.
Like $25.
Yeah, and that was a fortune for something like that. So he breaks down, rescued by Vinny and his 80s cliche girlfriend. And the nerd Sherman is jealous, I guess, because he's stalking Ellie along with the three tough guys that threw beer at him at the school.
Yeah, how are they hanging out?
They've suddenly teamed up.
Yeah.
And they all have Brooklyn accents. And
Brooklyn, New Mexico.
The Brooklyn part of New Mexico.
From South New Mexico. Yeah, all right.
You want to go halves on a pie? Yeah, let's do it.
Do you want to go surfing? Let's go surfing. Then we'll go up to the Hollywood sign.
Typing class.
Oh, God, I love typing class.
Oh my God! Typing class,
like this has a cigar in his mouth.
Yeah,
is he? He does a lot. He always has a cigar.
You could smoke in school.
He wasn't smoking. It's just like it was on lids. It's like, hey, I'm just chewing a cigar. It's okay. I'm from Brooklyn. Yeah, let him do it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't understand you were from Brooklyn. It's okay. I missed typing. I did exactly what Vinny did in typing class. I didn't type a damn thing all year. I had a girl next to me type all my shit and hand it in. And that is why today I can't type.
I took it in summer school.
Really?
Yeah. So I could get it out of the way.
Are you good?
I'm pretty good.
Are you?
Yep.
Kevin, are you a typist?
I'm a hunt and peck all the way.
That's what I do. I use two fingers and I'm as fast as you, Christy.
I use the home keys. Yep.
Oh, look at you. Alright. Jealous.
That was my favorite part. Yeah, really. Christy, you had nothing to brag about. You picked this movie. And while Mike is cleaning the engine, I keep calling it an engine. I don't know if it's an engine. I don't know why the engine. I guess the engine would transport it through time, so I guess it's the engine. I don't know.
The search engine.
It doesn't matter.
Hey,
searching for time.
Did you just snort?
I did.
As he's cleaning it, he turns it on, he fixes it, and it produces an Egyptian vase on the table and some battle axe, and they've gone 2 hours in to the future. And of course the school library would have a book that explains all of it, so they go there and there is one.
Yeah.
Sherman has the answer in like 5 minutes.
You know, as much as I want to call bullshit on this, I really like the fact they're talking about multiverse, being a comic book reader. I'm like, yeah, I love the multiverse. Let's go. And it had nothing to do with the multiverse. It was like, oh.
Yep.
Don't tease with a multiverse theory and then throw it away.
And they explain it to Hopper, who is Bob. I should call him by their character name. His name is Bob. And they've missed
Bob
the final.
Roberts.
Bob Roberts. Roberts Esquire.
Yeah.
Bob.
They've missed the final. He told them, this is what he told me before, no diploma without a good science project and all this stuff. And now he says to them, unless your science project is Dino Supreme, you both get D's. Well, problem solved, because D is passing. So they really have to do nothing.
True.
Vinny says, I'll take it.
Like, yeah, what's the problem? They just want to pass.
None of those guys are going to college.
No.
There will be no collegiate future for them.
And Bob is going to an anti-war rally. What war? I don't know.
Granada? No.
When the shit went down in Granada.
Was there a war in 1985? No.
No. And it starts at 3 o'clock. Okay. And it will happen. And he'll be back at school grading papers at 9 o'clock. Yeah, right. No teacher's back at school at 9 o'clock grading papers, unless he's homeless.
Well, he's homeless. Have you seen the van?
Steve the van. And they show this engine then to Hopper when they get back there. The thugs are there wearing Stormtrooper and Darth Vader masks.
Which would have cost, they would have had to pay. Well, actually, it was Disney. So they didn't have to pay themselves. Yeah, but
it wasn't owned by that.
Yeah.
This is a Disney field. It laid the groundwork for the deal.
Yep. They were like, dude, I don't want to retrospectively have to pay Disney, pay ourselves for that. Let's just buy Star Wars.
I know. Let's just buy it. Let's just buy Star Wars so we don't have to deal with the My Science Project issue.
Yeah, since we referenced Jedi and we wore Stormtrooper and Darth Vader helmets.
There's another one later.
It's a famous film.
Yeah. There's another one later when the car's going really fast and Vinny says something like, now this is hyperspace.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So yeah.
They show him the engine. You know, and what is he? He said, this is, I wrote this down because Kevin's right. It's the pop culture references. It starts shining, and Vinny says, I seen lights like this at an Ozzy Osbourne concert.
Oh.
So many shoehorned 80s reference. The sunglasses at night thing later, like everything that Vinny does, he is a walking reference machine.
The cool one is the one about the, hey, I seen this movie about a car that flames his owner or something like that, and John Stockwell was in Christine.
Right. They're referring to the movie that he was in.
So it's like, oh, come on.
That's fun. I'll take that. What I won't take is when he goes into the high school later on, he grabs the gun of the cop car. He goes, if I'm going into a time warp like Barbarino.
What? Yeah, what does that mean?
When did Barbarino ever do that?
Yeah, what can you possibly mean?
There was no gunfight on Welcome Back, Kotter? That we saw?
Could he be saying that because that show came out in the 70s, that would be a time warp for a kid in 85?
Why not just say Beretta? I'd be more scared if Beretta came out of the time loop. Robert Blake comes out of the shadows, I'm fucking shooting him.
Before he gets you.
Before he gets me.
Hopper is affected by this. He kind of orgasms and gets sucked into time, I guess. So the kids that's what it is. That is full release, what you're seeing there.
Oh, yeah. His acting is so, he swings for the fences with every other line. It's either really calm or it's way out there, almost Nick Cage like.
I bet you he didn't even remember doing this movie.
No, I agree. You are both right.
Yeah, he didn't. Well, he didn't probably didn't even read the script.
Nope.
They just said, do this, Bob.
So the kids hatch a plan. Not really sure what it is, but it involves blowing something up with dynamite, which they happen to sell at Mike's dad's hardware store.
Instead of just unplugging it.
They couldn't unplug it. That was a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. True. Is that what they're trying to do? It's because it's plugged into the socket and it's got unlimited electricity. Is that the problem?
Yes.
It's feeding off the electricity. It's going to feed off the main generator, like the power source outside of town.
Okay.
So they're trying to disconnect it from the main power source. Otherwise, it becomes too powerful.
See?
And they outrun electricity to do it in his car.
Because pretty, Mike makes a bitching car.
Yeah, it's a pretty exactly fucking right. awesome GTO.
It does look good.
Yeah.
It still can't outrun electricity, but that's okay.
Suspension and there's a little rope.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. There's a little bit of romance as Mike and Ellie, you know, they get it on. Can you imagine how bad this kiss smells with his constant mouth breathing? Funk, yeah, the funk coming out of his face.
Go. Let it go.
And her rancid retainer in her mouth.
She took it out.
She's like, my retainer. The funk of that kiss. Oh my God, Christy. And you find this attractive, this guy.
I didn't like the bad boys.
Okay. The
bad smellers, maybe. I don't know. I did find Robert Pattinson adorable for a moment.
He'll come back around as Batman's, don't worry.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Honestly, their romance was so forced. It was like, what is, it's just a, this is just a rebound for him. He just got, you know, got dumped. So,
yeah. And she's been pining for him for a while, it seems like.
Yeah.
And now there are cops investigating Mike. The detective is Corey Haim's dad from License to Drive.
And I loved him on, what show was he on? He was on Richard Masur.
Evening Shade?
No, he was not on Evening Shade.
Oh.
But he was on something, not Barney. No, it was something in the vein of Barney Miller.
Fish?
Possibly.
I'm pretty sure it was Evening Shade.
He was in The Thing.
Yeah, that's right. He is in The Thing. I like that guy. He's fine. He has nothing to do here.
He has nothing. I have no idea why he's in it, but.
He was in Hotel Baltimore. Rhoda.
Rhoda.
Maybe it was Rhoda that I remember him in.
Was he Rhoda?
Oh, One Day. That's it. One Day at a Time. I was addicted to that show.
Was he stooping Bonnie? What's her name? Bonnie Tyler? What was her name? The redhead.
Crap. Bonnie.
Mrs. Romano.
Mrs. Romano. Bonnie Franklin.
Bonnie Franklin. Yeah. Bonnie Tyler was a singer. You know Schneider was laying the pipe in more ways than one on that show.
Well, I mean, he did have the line, Mrs. Romano, I never seen freckles there before.
See?
Can you see? I think it's kind of ironic that we're throwing a lot of these odd pulp cultures in, just like the movie.
He was right again. Kevin, you're so astute. Yep. It's rubbed off on us.
It's how good this movie is.
Yep.
Goddamn Fisher Stevens.
He's like that earworm thing in Star Trek.
They put Stevens in our ears. The next thing. The next thing I've written down is another one of his references. They get to the police station and they get arrested. He runs in. They're taking him in and he yells, I want Wapna.
Oh, pfft.
And the guy grabs him by the neck and he says to the guy, chill out, Mr. Spock. And the cops are all smoking, playing cards, and drinking whiskey. That's for every police station in the 80s.
Yeah.
The nerd, what's the nerd? What's his name? The guy that you think is good with the gap teeth. What's his name? I forget his name. Sherman. He reactivates the engine and the power goes out all over town and they escape. So now the entire school is in a warp, which is what they keep calling it. It took me a while because they were saying WAP. And I thought they were saying, you know, a derogatory term towards Italians.
Oh, my God.
But I was like, damn, this movie. I mean, because there's a couple in here. They say the F word about, you know, gay people several times in this movie.
Oh, it's awful.
It stands out so much. It's like, whoa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when you first say it, it's like, whoa. But then it happens later and you're like, okay, well, that's just this movie. Well, the school The school is in a warp where all of time is going in and out. There are Nazis. There's Cleopatra. They get attacked by a caveman, then a gladiator. I could have used a little more of this in the movie. I don't know. What do you think? This part had my attention, at least.
Were you having, like Night at the Museum moments in this?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, this to me is the highlight of them. If they had spent a third of the movie doing what they had done up till now, and two thirds of the movie with them fighting things through time, I would have been okay with that.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you.
I gotta say, at this point in the movie, I said out loud, "Do you remake this film?"
Yeah.
The dinosaur.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. It was really kind of entertaining. I was like, now we got something.
Exactly. Exactly. Like this, we're in the home stretch when you get to this point. It's like they, I don't know, they really misjudged the highlight of this movie. They were all about the buildup. It should have been a little less buildup and a little more of this. And I would have been with it. The guy that directed it, wrote it, and he wrote The Last Starfighter. And I know Christy and I love that. Kevin, you love that movie?
Yeah. Oh, I love The Last Starfighter.
What a great movie.
I think with this movie, he just tried to take on too much. It's okay. All over the place. And he tried to spend too much time on the backstory instead of the story.
That's a good way to put it. Too much backstory. Yeah. When we didn't need a lot of backstory, we get it. This was a pretty boilerplate for the 80s even, let alone now. Give me the good stuff. Give me the Nazis. Give me the T-Rex. I mean, then there's at some point there's Viet Cong, and it's what's that guy's name? Al Leong or whatever his name is.
Al Leong.
He's in everything. Yeah. I love that guy. They fight them off. Don't they save an American soldier?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I thought that was going to be Dennis Hopper's character later on.
All right.
Yeah. So did I.
I thought this was going to come back. This is awesome. Well done. And nothing.
And Michael Berryman is one of the future guys.
That's the guy from Weird Science and Hills Have Eyes?
Yes.
Yeah, I love that guy. Like, they are a couple pretty cool, like, guys that you see in every movie. Now that you say that, Kevin, that would have been actually a little bit of a cool twist if the anti-war teacher went back in time and came back as a soldier, you know, fighting in the Vietnam War.
I was thinking that they put it in there. It's like, wow, they saved that guy. The guy's like, thanks, I owe you. I'm like, oh, here it comes. Yeah, way to go. Nope.
Yeah, that's a missed opportunity. You just blew my mind.
Well, thank you.
That was good. Good.
At this point, I was so into the movie. Like, yeah, I can see why this works. I sort of left everything else behind. I'm like, this is cool. And then I noticed that everything had that Ghostbusters feel to it because Ghostbusters had come out the year before. So all the special effects were very Ghostbuster-ish. I'm pretty sure they sat there at the last minute and said, oh, let's change our special effects to look like that because it had that feel to it. So I was like, why wasn't this a bigger movie? This is a lot of fun.
At this point, you're exactly right. Even with Fisher Stevens doing his best to ruin it.
Between him and Sherman.
They love that character. Holy crap. Well, then there's the whole thing, like the Sherman, suddenly he fights. And it's like, well, why don't you do it in real life, stupid?
Exactly. Exactly. Why were you a pushover in there throwing beer cans at you? But now you're ready to murder.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was because it was for Ellie. I don't know why we're trying to figure it out.
Okay. The damsel in distress, which is all she does in the movie.
Yeah, and her glasses finally come off. I was waiting for those glasses to come off because, you know, it was like one of those, oh, she's pretty, you know, after all, with the glasses. They stuck to those glasses for quite a while.
Yes, they did.
I thought that when the warp happened, she, like, would be transformed.
Right.
You know, when she came out of it, I thought, okay, she's going to come out and look. And it's like, no, she's still Ellie. All right. Good for you.
Yeah, and you're right. Like, even the T-Rex, although it looked horrendous, I having done, there's not a lot about, you know, behind the scenes stuff about this movie because that's how little people care about it. There's nothing. But they had no money. So I excuse that kind of stuff when there's budgetary constraints. But if they did this today, you're right. They could do a lot better.
Well, you know, the whole beginning of it, there were two alien puppets.
and they scrapped it.
And Frank Welker was even doing one of the voices.
Right.
And then they scrapped it because they were in out of money.
That guy, Frank Welker, hack.
That's funny.
Do you ever go to his IMDb page?
No.
It takes an afternoon to get through it.
Oh, jeez. That.
That's funny. It's got to be hundreds of things long. Hundreds. Yeah.
So long. But, you know, the thing I thought was when they killed the dinosaur, I'm like, well, if they've come from the past, wouldn't that cause some sort of repercussion in the time stream? So maybe that's where the alternate realities and multiverse come through. But, you know, they killed Viet Cong. They killed. It's like there's no repercussion of any of this. Oh, no, I guess not.
Well, yes. Nope. Yes, Kevin, there was, because did you not hear the song Walk the Dinosaur? They killed the dinosaur.
Crack me up. All right. Yeah, as much time as they took to write the script of Back to the Future and make sure they crossed and all the T's and dotted all the I's, they spent as little time with this. At one point, I think they even used the phrase space-time continuum, but it doesn't matter. Those high school kids murdered people.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it.
Having a good time, too.
Well, but it meant that Mike didn't care about his car as much anymore. I've murdered a person.
That's true. It's just a car.
It's just a car. I have blood on my hands.
It's just a car. I have years of therapy to pay for. Mike shuts off the thing, but he gets sucked in, but then reappears. I don't know why. There's not a lot of explanation at the end. Hopper is back from the 60s and arrested. I still hate him. And they take the engine back and they run out of gas and walk back as a couple. But the car flickers with electricity, meaning what?
A sequel?
Sequel?
No.
No. In its opening week, this movie came in 14th place. That was hilarious. Really? Thought it'd be lower. And the credit. Go ahead, Mike.
I'm sorry. I just thought it was like at the end they sort of just gave up on the script. And
yes.
That's what really sort of was disappointing is they built everything up and then went beep. There you go. Yeah. Like, wow, no thought whatsoever.
Yeah. Like the projectionist at the theater was tapping his watch, going, "Hey guys.
Running out of time here.
We're up against it, guys. Come on."
You're only going to be in the theater for 2 weeks because then Back to the Future comes out. So,
yeah, this was a two-weeker. When I was a projectionist, you could tell we would put a movie in one of the bigger, you know, theaters, and it would bomb. It would move to a tiny theater with not even full showtimes for the day, and it was gone that next week. Like that, this is definitely a two-weeker.
You'd wipe your ass with the film.
You didn't even care when you were taking apart the film if it was clean, because nobody else was going to rerun this in like a second hand theater. That's what this is like. And the credits, like Chrissy said, is the theme song by the Tubes. And the credits feature more shots of Vinny just being a horrible douchebag. At some point,
they're all just cut scenes.
They're cut scenes. He calls these two girls dykes at some point. What? Like he is unlikable, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they love him. I think that's a studio note. Where they go, can we get more Vinny? We'll get these cut scenes, but it doesn't fit in the story. Put in the credits. We'll love it.
Yes, Mr. They probably Weinstein, thought no they, problem.
Mr. They probably thought they had themselves a pretty solid character that the kids were going to go nuts for.
I have my Vinny doll. Look. Pull the little thing in the back. Hey, yo, whoa, hey.
It's the 80s. Hey.
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 Don't be an F word. Hey.
How hard is that Rubik's Cube, huh?
I'm going to hit you with my pep rock. Bobberino.
That's awesome.
Don't be like the Fonz. Hey.
Back off, Columbo.
Yeah, he did call somebody Columbo at one point, didn't he?
What?
He said Columbo, and then Dennis Hopper said Kojak.
Yeah, Kojak. Who loves you, baby? God. Kojak, yay.
I may watch this again.
To be honest, I started to about an hour and a half ago. I really enjoyed it. I did, so.
Yeah.
Do you know what the foreign release name was?
No.
No, what was it?
Time Busters.
That's even better.
Time Busters.
How would the tubes have
Back to the Future and Ghostbusters? They thought it was a combination of the two. And so they released it under the title Time Busters. I thought I'd watch that movie.
Sure.
Ooh, that reminds me of another movie we could watch, Time Bandits.
Oh, I love Time Bandits.
Time Bandits is made by some of the most talented people to ever live. You can't compare it to this.
You I can if they were on time. The rack together.
you and your rack.
Hey. Oh, hey, yo. Thanks. Hey, thanks, Vinny.
Good one.
Good one, Vinny.
Well, unless I missed anything, I think we're ready for our reviews. Have I missed anything?
Or I
have
think I our gone discussion has been longer than the movie.
Have I gone too much in detail?
No, that was perfect. I enjoyed it.
All right, so we're going to rate this. For Christy, it will be 2. We'll save her for last. Okay. Kevin and I have only seen this, you know, within the last couple of days. But usually we do our original viewing versus our 2020 viewing to see if it holds up. So I'll go first. I'm not going to lie. If I had seen this in 1985 when I was 12, I would have loved this shit. I would have thought Vinny was kind of funny. I would have loved the concept. I ate stuff like this up. I probably would have given it like a 4 back then. Watching it on for free on YouTube, it is complete garbage now. And I'd probably give it a 1. But I'm gonna be fair to this movie. I'm gonna average my 12-year-old, what I thought my 12-year-old self might say, and my 47-year-old self, which comes out to a 2.5. It doesn't hold up, but I want to be fair to the movie because, like Kevin said, like once it got into that stuff, I kind of started paying attention again because I wasn't for a while, honestly. If I didn't have to write these notes, I wouldn't have known what the hell was going on. But there are worse movies that we've done by far.
Oh, yeah.
So a 2.5 is higher than some like actual good movies. But I did have fun watching it in a really weird way. And I would watch it again. So I'm sticking with my 2.5. So what about you, Kevin?
When it first came out in 85, I would have been 22. And I probably would have hated it. I would have been like, oh, what a bunch of crap. Especially with Ghostbusters coming out with that. Oh, what a ripoff of that. What a rip. And I would have probably hated it. Watching it now, with a kind of nice little reverence to the 80s, I enjoyed it. I think they let me down at the end. But for that middle section, I thought it showed a lot of promise, and I'd like to see them remake it. So I give it a solid 3.
Okay. Christy, you're going to make or break this one of whether my science project holds up. Let's hear it.
Okay, no question. 1985 or 86 by the time it made it to my video store would have been definitely a 4.5 probably because I liked it. I rented it several times. In fact, I'd give it a point for every time I rented it. Now, I actually was more bothered by the beginning than I was the end. I mean, the end was rushed, but I kind of expected that when you could kind of see the dollar signs going down, and they were running out of money. But I actually thought it was really, like, I was like, I'm going to have to fast forward. This is so slow. It's moving so slow. And I don't like these people anymore. And he's cute, but I don't, he's not likable. I got to the point where I was like, definitely Fisher Stevens. Raphael Sabarge actually annoyed me more than Fisher Stevens. But yeah, they both equally pretty much were bothersome. I do have to say it does lower a little bit. But it did give me a nice little warm feels of how much I did love this movie. So I'm going to have to go on the warmth factor. I'm going to say it's probably a 2.75 for me.
All right. This is it. It ended up being really close. I mean, we're at that average. I'm not going to sit here and do the math. That averages out to like a 2.6 something. So by our standards, it does not hold up, but by the slimmest of margins, really. I mean, we usually say a three and above means it holds up. This is pretty close for a movie that we complained about for 45 minutes.
Complain, admire. They're so close.
So that says a lot. And like we said, it's free on YouTube. If you saw it then and liked it or have never seen it, give it a shot. At least it's free. If you're showing your kids, I would probably mind some of the, not even language. It's references to things like slur. I would say slurs at this point.
Yeah.
Because there is some foul language in it, but those aren't troubling. The names that they call people are.
Yeah.
So mind that with your kids. But just other
mute
that,
it anytime Fisher Stevens is talking. Just say, look, he's going to portray an ethnic character in another movie that he shouldn't be because he's neither one of these characters' ethnicity.
That's true. What is it? That's like major whitewashing, right? Like him in the Short Circuit. I mean, I've never seen Short Circuit, but Jesus, this guy, come on.
We should have a Fisher Stevens Palooza and watch Fisher Steven movie.
There's not that many.
Well, it'll be a short series. Short Circuit series.
It's funny because the stint that he did on, he's only one episode of Friends. He was Phoebe's boyfriend. He plays an unlikable know-it-all asshole that the other friends hate.
Yeah.
He does it well.
Yeah.
He is.
In It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, he plays a critic who gives Patty's Pub a bad review, and they capture him and torture him until he gives him a better review. He's unlikable at it, and he does a good job. In Lost, he plays an asshole. Maybe that's his thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then he did Tiger King. Like, just a whole bunch of unlikable assholes there.
What was his deal with Michelle Pfeiffer? You said they dated. Date?
They dated pretty seriously for a long time.
Serious?
Yeah.
She's like one of the most.
Was this 80s or 90s or?
I think it might have been 90s. But I remember. Something I was watching, like Entertainment Tonight or something like that in the 80s or 90s. And I remember going, what? Why? Let's see. I'll Google it. When did Michelle Pfeiffer?
Yeah, because she's really one of the most beautiful actresses I've ever seen. And I know beauty is, you know, only skin deep. Maybe he's a really wonderful person, but it's one of those things. This is a Lyle Lovett, Julia Roberts situation that just doesn't work. Good for him.
They broke up.
They dated from 89 to 92.
Good Lord. Can you imagine 3 years of that far ahead?
Wow.
They were in Twelfth Night together at the New York Shakespeare Festival.
Well, good
maybe,
for them.
Maybe Shakespeare is amazing.
maybe that's what it, maybe he's a great theater actor.
Maybe his Benvolio is amazing.
Well, Christy, thank you for choosing this and putting Kevin and I through the ringer.
So much fun. I had such a good time with this.
I did too, and it was worth it. So I'm being sincere. Thank you for picking this movie. You made a good choice.
Why, thank
Yay.
You.
And Kevin, it's been a thin slice of heaven having you on the show.
This has been great. Thank you. I've had a good time.
Well, it's our pleasure. So join us next time on The Greaties, the great 80s movie debate, when Christy will probably pick something that's free on YouTube.
Yay! Woo-hoo. And check out our Facebook page and Patreon.
And our Twitter.
And everything.
Good. Well, I'll put it on Twitter when it comes out. Maybe Fisher Stevens will chime in.
Well, he's not doing anything else.
No.
Don't.
I'll start. I'll start following him on Twitter as the Grady's and see if.
Oh, God, no. Know. We're going to trash him.
Oh, that'd be great.
No, I don't care.
Okay.
As long as he retweets it on his page, that's all that matters. What's he's never going to listen to it.
No.
It'd be funny if he does, and people are like, you know, these people say shit about you like the whole time.
I'd be like, yeah, but I know the movie, so they're right.
Yeah.
That's funny.